Welcome to the first episode of I See Monsters. Wanted to start off with a couple of warnings and disclaimers. While I wouldn't consider this a horror podcast specifically, I will be discussing a wide variety of monsters and mythos, which can get pretty gruesome, so listener discretion is advised. Also, I wanted to state that I am by no means an expert in folklore or mythology. This podcast is for entertainment purposes, and while the monsters I will be talking about are based on real folklore, I can get information wrong, and I may decide to put my own spin on some monsters if I feel it would make them fit my story better. If you're looking for a professional source to learn from, there are many other podcasts better suited for that. Well, without further ado, let's get on with the show. Alright, do I have everything on? Fantastic. Let's get this over with. Now, where's that note, what I'm supposed to say on it? Here we are. Okay, so this is Jack Talbot, Supervisor R.J. Trelane, narrating the... What's that? No, I'm not going to call you Agent Trelane, for crying out loud. I've worked with you for 7 years. Agent. I'm getting all high and mighty on me now. Alright, as I was saying, I'll be narrating the training manual for the Monster Hunters Guild. They even got a new name. Since when? Since the aliens... You understand? Since the aliens doesn't really explain anything. Okay, anyway, what's the new name? International Supernatural and Extraterrestrial Experts. That... My goodness, that's a mouthful. That was the best they could come up with? Really? I can understand, fair enough, changing the name now that aliens are in our jurisdiction and all that, but... Really? Someone just really wanted our initials to spell IC, didn't they? Why, what's that even... Never mind, not important. Okay. I would like to ask, though, before we get in this, why are we narrating this? I mean, is this just so I have something to do while I'm suspended from field work, or what? Accessibility. How much more accessible do you need something to be than a book? I mean, we've got it in almost every language now, don't we? Oh, okay, alright, fair enough. The Gorgon Corps is all blind. That is on me. Fair. Let's just get into it. Alright, what's the first entry? What are we going over? I've got to do the equipment list too? Really? Ugh. Alright, fine. What are they putting in these packs nowadays? Let's see here. Alright, top of the list. Horseshoe. And I know it sounds ridiculous for anybody listening, but at one point these horseshoes were actually... kind of useful, at least. Pure iron is a decent way of dealing with a whole lot of lesser monsters that you're going to be dealing with. And of course, something heavy to swing around is always nice to have on hand. However, the one you've got in your pack is probably useless, because more likely than not, it's steel. You got steel ones now, though, the days, don't they, RJ? Yeah, that's what I thought. No, that's not going to do any good. Apparently, whoever's in charge of supplying these things didn't do their research. Just started getting horseshoes because they thought the horseshoe bit was the important part. No. Horseshoes are just a cheap way of getting iron. Or they used to be, at least. So, you can just disregard that thing. Get yourself a pure iron crowbar from somewhere, alright? It's just a much better tool in general. A whole lot easier to wield, too. Like, you ever tried fighting something with a horseshoe, RJ? Trying to sit there boxing with something in your hand is absolute pain. Anyway, what's next? Knife. See, now there's something that should actually be in a hunter's kit. You'll probably end up replacing this eventually once you figure out what your fighting preferences are and whatnot, but keep at least a knife around, alright? It's a very utilitarian item. It's probably one of the best things you're gonna have in this whole bag. Yes, I will be making comments at the end of all these, if for no other reason than my own sanity while I'm sitting here cooped up like this. Cut it out in the editing process if you don't like it that much. I might actually teach these kids something good. All right, salt. This is not for your food. This is for protective circles. Keep a supply of it around. Your trainer will probably tell you that you got to go get the super purified stuff from the armory, but it honestly, just go to a grocery store, get yourself some koshers. It's the same thing. Herb pouch, myrrh, mandrake, sage, St. John's wort, rosemary, juniper, lavender, etc., etc. Whole lot of general herbs. I can't really say how useful these are. I've never used them myself. There are some hunters that are experts with herbal magics and whatnot, but they have their own inventories that they pick out, and you ask one of them if you have questions about that. I honestly can't tell you if these are any good or not. I will say this. I hate that I have to say this, but I'm going to say this. Don't smoke them, all right? They will not get you high. It will get you fired, though. Just don't bother. Next on the list, a cross. Why are these still standard issue? I mean, they work on 2, maybe 3 monsters max, and any 2 sticks you pick up off the ground and hold out in front of you have the same effect. Why are we buying these? For crying out loud. Anyway. Fire starting kit. Some waterproof matches. Now, there we are. This is going to be handy for those long hunts where you end up camping. And honestly, fire's kind of your end-all be-all for monster killing. Works on almost everything. There are exceptions, of course, but at the end of the hunt, if you're out of ideas and this thing still needs to be dead, try setting it on fire. Works most of the time. Some collateral damage you'll have to work with, but you know, corporates put a couple $1 million into collateral insurance, you'll be alright. Well, okay, if you don't like my advice, cut it out. Simple process. You get to decide what's going in this at this point. I'm just talking. Small mirror. Don't lose this. This is actually really useful. This thing's going to save your life in more cases than you can imagine. The book says it's great for those monsters that can kill you just by looking at you and all that. But aside from that, grand for looking around corners. It's a nice emergency signal, helps you see where you need to stitch yourself up that you can't usually get to. It's a fantastic little piece of equipment. Alright, next up we've got the 9mm pistol. Standard little firearm, you know, you give it to cops, standard too. It's the same for us. Regular bullets aren't usually going to be helpful, but you can go down to the armory and get some special ones on a case-by-case basis, you know. Talk to Jessica down there. She'll hook you up. Got a first aid kit. All right, that's, you know, self-explanatory. This one's going to be a little more extensive than what you'd pick up at a sporting goods store or whatever. So go through it, actually understand where everything is and what it does. Flashlight. Surprise, surprise, you can't see in the dark. Most everything you hunt can. So keep this around with you, but pick up some spare batteries before you go out on your first hunt, because corporate has neglected to give you any. That's it. That's really all we're sending them out there with nowadays. And of course, budget cuts. Always budget cuts. Gracious. All right. Some things that you should probably stick in here that you're going to have to provide yourself, apparently. Get yourself a new bag. All right. The one that they give you is absolute trash. You're going to need more space, some more pockets. Rip up the one they gave you for some more bandages, if nothing else. Grab yourself some kind of shelter. Get, at the very least, a tarp, but preferably a small sleeping bag, a little tent, something. Hammock, at least. Gracious. A change of socks, if not a whole new change of clothes, is an absolute necessity. Gangrene, terrible way to die, and it doesn't look good on your tombstone, to be honest. And you're going to get dirty with some of the nastiest stuff you ever did see on this job. It's, ugh. So, change of clothes, some snacks would be good in there. Granola bars, jerky, just something. Stakeouts are a lot easier when you don't have to listen to your stomach growling at you the whole time. On a similar note, get yourself something to entertain yourself with. A deck of cards, some dice, a book, something. The job sounds all glamorous and all, but there's going to be long periods of time where you're just sitting there waiting for something to do. And having something to keep yourself busy is going to do wonders for not losing your mind. Hell, maybe toss around that horseshoe they gave you. Okay, well that's that. Let's move on to the first entry. Oh, they put it alphabetical. That's nice, at least for looking things up. But we're going to skip around just a little bit for my own sake. Let's find something that's actually, like, useful. Something they're going to run into more common. Ah, here we go. Ghosts. Practically tripping over ghosts every time you go out on a hunt. So we'll start there. This thing you're going to see all over the place. All right, what do they got on here? Entity. Oh, jeez. This is going to be boring. All right. Entity, ghost, aka specter, phantom, spirit, poltergeist, giddim, ach, boots, trail. Okay, I'm gonna stop this right here. Most of those are synonymous with ghosts. Sure, the giddim, ach, boots, all that good jazz. That's, you know, that's just ghost in different languages. Those other things, though, are entirely different monsters, and we need to stop acting like they're the same thing. All right. Sure, most of them are incorporeal. A lot of them are human-shaped-ish, at least. But ghosts are dead people. The rest of those are not. And a whole lot of different things, frankly, but I'm rambling on now. Let's see what else they got on here. General characteristics. Incorporeal, most often invisible, neutral to highly aggressive. Many have telekinetic capabilities ranging from mild to extreme. And so far, so good, all right? Natural range, most of the known world with high concentrations in human settlements. Duh. Threat level, varies from safe to lethal. I should probably clarify that a little bit since I skipped over the definitions page. All monsters you're going to face are classified on a pretty simple threat scale that goes safe, harmful, lethal, and catastrophic. Don't worry about that last one too much. You won't be hunting anything on that level anytime soon. And if you do suddenly find yourself face-to-face with a catastrophic-level threat, don't worry about it. You're going to be dead soon anyway, so it's not your problem anymore. What do you mean I can't tell them that? I mean, it's true. Thing will kill them before they get the chance to try and handle it. You didn't sign up for this job knowing that you could die. Then that's your own fault, honestly. Let's get into notes and handling procedures. Fancy way to say how to kill it. Alright. Ghosts are the souls of the deceased that have returned to the world of living for a variety of reasons, usually involving an improper burial or to right some perceived wrong. Most ghosts are not harmful to humans, simply desire assistance in moving on again to return to their proper afterlife. There are, however, many ghosts that are malicious and wish to do harm to the living. The reasons for this vary significantly, but are not relevant to your hunt. I'm going to see how relevant you think they are when you're in the middle of it. When confronting a malicious ghost, all a hunter needs to know are the person's religious connections from before they were deceased. You will use this information to find the correct exorcism rites found in Appendix B. It is highly recommended that you study these rites before starting the hunt so that you can practice proper pronunciation. If these fail, use the horseshoe, or crowbar, provided to you to ward off the ghost and begin your search for the tether. This can be an item or place that was significant to the ghost in life or played some crucial role in their death. Destruction of the tether is a more certain way of banishing the entity, but significantly more difficult to find, so it is recommended to start with the exorcism rather than take the extra time to locate the tether, time in which the spirit may cause further harm to others. Whew, alright, well, that was a lot of overgeneralization. So let me explain to you what apparently this book can't. Ghosts do have a lot of different names, depending on the culture and language we're talking about, like I said earlier. But they are all, in essence, the same thing, namely, the souls of the deceased returned to Earth for some reason or another. The book did get it right that it's usually to right a wrong or because they were buried improperly. Anything that we would call a specter, phantom, poltergeist, or what have you, though, are not dead people. What they are is up for a lot of debate, but we know that they are usually created from some tragedy, a violent death, or in some cases, by someone with more necromantic powers than are deemed safe by any organization. It is vitally important that you do prior research into what it is exactly that you have come across. Because if it is actually a ghost, you'd need to just walk away. We hunt monsters, not people. That line can be a bit blurry at times, but in this case it's pretty black and white, because ghosts don't hurt people. The other stuff certainly will. The exorcism prayers that the book talks about are for ghosts. That's one way to get rid of them, but it is an incredibly violent and painful way to get rid of them. And divines forbid you use the wrong prayer and send somebody to the wrong afterlife. And you remember, here's a story for you. You want a good way to get fired? Follow the example of Trent Winston. Send a Jewish man off to a Hindu afterlife because you made an assumption based on his skin color. You'll never work another job in your life, much less hunting or otherwise. So just don't hunt ghosts, okay? You can advise the family on how to help it move on, or tell them to go see a religious leader, and you just walk away. Now, if it turns out it's not a ghost, and it's some kind of wraith or something, that's where we get into tethers. You'll be spending a lot of time online or in a library on these kind of hunts, because you only get one good shot at breaking a tether. Don't try the prayers, that won't help. The crowbar, told you to pick up, that's useful. The salt too, most of the time at least. But, of course, that's only if this is one of these monsters. And these aren't the only things we hunt that can be invisible and walk through walls, not by a long shot. So, if you do your research right, can't find any proof of it being a dead person or some tragedy that might have created this other thing, look through the manual for something else. Last thing you want to be is trying to look for a tether while being chased by some fae. Not a fun time. Alright. Final thing, I suppose, we need to talk about the book skipped over is possessions. Now, actual ghosts can't possess people, because the human body just can't hold more than one soul, not without intervention from someone with a lot of mojo, at least. Those monsters of the second group, though, they're left alone long enough, they can get to the point where they start possessing people, and they love to do it, too. In this case, you're still looking for a tether to get rid of the thing, but now you're on a time crunch. These things feed on people while they're inside them, and they can get up to a whole new kinds of trouble in a physical body. Well, one's new to possession, probably just go off committing some acts of random violence with whatever on his hand. But those that have had the opportunity, done a couple of possessions before, start getting a little trickier and figure out what all other sort of nonsense they can get up to with a person's resources. They'll start targeting people with power, local politicians, business owners, that sort of thing. Smart Spectre can ruin a small town if someone doesn't handle it quickly. Thankfully, at least, most of the populace has been at least somewhat educated on how to spot a possession, so we haven't had that issue in a while. Though, doesn't mean it isn't still a possibility. Alright, RJ, how's that? Good enough for Chapter 1? Fantastic. Alright. Well, thank you for joining me for the first episode of I See Monsters. Hopefully the next episode will be up within 2 weeks or so, and we'll start getting a more frequent and proper schedule as we go on. Hope to see you back for the next episode, see what we're hunting then.